You're listening to the Branches HB Podcast.
We're looking at different aspects of God's kingdom that came into existence at the advent and the arrival of Christ. You know, every year we're in this season of Advent, we consider the past, we consider the meaning and impact of the Christmas story, and so far we've talked about the eradication of our fears in light of this coming King Jesus. We talked about the elimination of our sins as Jesus planned to go to the cross to cancel our spiritual indebtedness before God. It's been a beautiful series so far. And this week we're going to be talking about the expanded mission of God. Let's look at a prophecy of a word from God from 700 years before the time of Christ that foretold about this expanded mission of God that would arrive at the advent of Jesus, at his birth. Let's look at Isaiah 56, starting in verse 1. This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. This is, of course, speaking about the birth of Jesus. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an enduring, everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. This prophecy begins with a call toward preparation and attentiveness. God says in chapter 56, verse 1, my salvation is close at hand. It's within reach. Of course, he's speaking of Jesus' birth to come, as I mentioned in our reading. To prepare, God's faithful are told to maintain justice and to do what is right, to walk in righteous ways, because the one who is coming was going to be bearing both justice and righteousness for the world. And when I say he was going to be bearing those things for the world, God meant he was going to be bearing those things for the whole world. That's what the rest of the prophecy chiefly concerns, that even as God declares his salvation was close at hand, within reach, there were still some people in that day and age thinking it's outside of their reach. You know, that's essentially what God is communicating. I'm sending Jesus. I'm sending my King. He's going to arrive. And your salvation for all these people, it's going to be within reach. I'm going to extend it out to you. I'm going to put it on the bottom shelf so you can reach it. I don't know if you've ever reached for something and you've actually tweaked your shoulder. This happens to me a lot now at 33. I don't know, maybe you're exempt from this, but you've ever reached so far that just something, you tweak something. Oh, the pain when you overextend yourself. And there are exclamations of pain in Isaiah 56 of these people saying, God's salvation, I know it's promised, but it's not going to be for me. There's two groups identified in verse 3. It's the foreigners and the eunuchs. Starting with the foreigner, they say, the Lord will surely exclude me. It's a statement of pain. In fact, in the law of Moses, foreigners did not have the full rights of the rest of the Jews in the nation. They were largely excluded from the religious life of the nation, so it was probably quite popular to think and communicate that foreigners were on the outside of God's ultimate plans and his blessings. They weren't the only ones excluded in the law, so were these so-called eunuchs. What's a eunuch, you may ask? Well, this is just wonderful for a Christmas series. I know it just, you know, you think of this in the season here, but let me define this. These are men born incapable or made incapable of sexual relations. They were physically disfigured. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1 is clear. It says they too can't take part in the assembly of the Lord. Naturally, then, it was common for these individuals to think that they too were excluded from God's plans and his blessings. So here you have these two groups. The foreigners are saying, so what if God is bringing salvation? I'm on the outside. And these men who are physically disfigured, who are seen as other in that ancient world, are saying, I'm a dry tree. I'm a good for nothing. I'm worthless in God's eyes and in the eyes of society. We've all felt these feelings to a certain degree for different reasons. You know, I shared how I felt kind of worthless. I felt excluded and on the outside as an extreme introvert growing up. I think I spoke about that 2 weeks ago. Maybe you had the same experience because of some quality in your life. Maybe you grew up and you didn't have the money to buy the right clothes to feel like you were included or accepted. Maybe you didn't have the ability to achieve in school, and so when they call on you to read, you couldn't read like everybody else, and you felt like you were on the outside, you were excluded, you were worthless. Maybe you weren't athletically gifted, and we know how important that is in our society, and so you felt like you were worthless, you were on the outside. Maybe you couldn't ever please your parents and their expectations, and you always felt like you were on the outside of the approval in your family. Maybe you feel that way in your workplace right now. You can't find that acceptance. You're excluded from the favor of your boss. Maybe that's something you feel in your own home with your spouse. You know, we've all felt on the outside of whatever the inside is. You know, even if we work toward getting to the inside, you know, whatever that means to us, it's like entering into a room and you always find there's another door with another definition of what is actually in beyond the room that you're currently in. You know, if you can relate to any of those feelings of being excluded or feeling like you're on the outside or worthless, then you can relate to how these groups feel, what they're declaring. But here's the point of Isaiah 56. God says, stop. Stop. Stop letting people speak in this self-defeating sort of way that they are somehow excluded from his salvation. Don't let them say any longer that they're worthless. And why should God's people stop this defeating language? Because even though these groups were excluded from participation in the Jewish nation, God always had a better plan, an ultimate plan, to bring them blessing. The next verses reveal as much. To the eunuchs, the fringe, people seen as ancient oddities, God says in verses 4 and 5, I'm going to give them a place within my temple and its walls, in the house of God itself, a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. To those called outcasts, freaks, degenerate, disposable, God says, I'll call you something better than a son or better than a daughter. You know, I think your question is probably, well, what's a name better than a son or a daughter? The point is that question itself. These people's worth is more than you and I can possibly imagine in God's mind. And to the foreigner, God says in verses 6 through 7, every foreigner who commits their heart and their ways to him, when they bring their sacrifices, God says, I'll receive them just like you're one of my people, or my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Apparently, the salvation that God was going to bring in Jesus was going to include many more people than expected. Verse 8, God says, I will gather still others besides those already gathered. Friends, we serve a God who gathers. That's important for us to recognize this morning. We serve a God who gathers. Jesus came to find lost sheep. He was called a friend of the morally corrupt and the seditious, the tax collectors and the sinners. He came for the spiritually sick as a physician. You know, I saw an interview this last week of a physician who's working on the Texas-Mexico border. And he's worked for 250 days straight tirelessly in his hospital because there's no one else to come in and relieve him of his duties that he's overseeing. And I just thought, that's a picture of how Jesus worked his entire ministry as a spiritual physician to bring spiritual life to the spiritually dead. Talk about an essential service. But we have an important choice to make in this very critical point in history. Will we gather with God, or will we scatter with man? We serve a God who gathers. We have to make a choice for ourselves. At this critical point in history, will we be a people who gather alongside God, or will we scatter alongside men? Don't assume the church is always gathering like God is today. It's hardly the case. Any church can say, all are welcome here. That's easy to put as a slogan on your welcome mat in front of a 10-story fortress wall. I mean, that's the real experience a lot of people have entering into church communities, because it's pretty much as old as time that God's own people were the ones that neglected his mission. God's own people were the ones who played exclusive with their cultural identity. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus preaches in his hometown. He's preaching to God's people. He's preaching to his neighbors, and they're loving everything he says until he gets into this sermon. And he cites these two individuals, these two foreigners that were the recipients of God's blessing through God's prophets in the Old Testament. And so he's talking about how God is inclined toward the foreigner, and I think it's a foreshadowing of the ministry that he would do in the Gospel of Luke. And of course, Jesus, the Son of God, he's preaching the sermon. He knows exactly what nerves he's going to hit with his audience. And guess what God's chosen people did when they heard this message of inclusion for those that would typically be deemed as undesirable? It says they organized like a mob to throw him off a cliff. Luke chapter 4, verse 29. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. Please read that chapter, Luke chapter 4. You know, you see Jesus tempted and tested in the wilderness by Satan, but I think God's own people were more dangerous than Satan himself. They loved him until he started including people that were unwanted by them in God's mission and God's plans. I see so much similar behavior among Christians today, akin to the mob of Luke chapter 4. You know, when it comes to politics, conservative Christians are condemning Democrats to hell before they've even died. Progressive Christians are going around pointing at conservatives saying they're deaf, dull, and dumb. When we have a conversation about race today, it's absolutely filled to the brim with passion, but absolutely lacking in compassion. You can't find compassion anywhere. When it comes to sexuality and social trends today, we Christians were very loud about our opinions about how vile and disgusting and demeaned our society has become. And we lead with that language in such a way that oftentimes that's all people hear us saying, is these critical critiques of what's going on in the world today. Unfortunately, that has become largely our public platform, this voice of self-righteous disgust. And it's not just these topics I'm citing right now. If it's not one of these things, we'll get a rally for our take on coronavirus, whether it's on social media or in a church, our take on mask wearing, our take on anything that you can have a take on today. And we define God's kingdom, according to us, in such small terms, we almost write ourselves out of the definition. These qualities are true from sheep in the church right up to the shepherds. We serve a God who gathers, but there are so many shepherds today scattering, scattering, scattering. They're even scattering the already gathered. They're finding ways to scatter Christians who enjoy Christian unity together. You might think some pastors today are the second coming of Christ. That's how confident they are in declaring a sheep from a goat before the judgment has even occurred. You know, some of these pastors, you think they sit on the throne of the universe the way they command all pastors to think and do as they think and do. I got a question for you guys. Who is the head of the church? I'm talking every church, the whole church. It's Jesus Christ. And I, for one, I'm not going to play musical chairs with the throne of God. But with these behaviors, it makes me wonder, in this generation of the church, is what we're building and participating in, is it a house of pride for all nations, or is it a house of prayer for all nations? Again, we have to ask ourselves, will we gather with God or will we scatter with man? Will we work for inclusion or will we work for exclusion? Now, to clarify, when I talk inclusion, I don't mean lowering the standards of God. Like, hey, okay, guys, let's get together. We don't want to offend anyone, so let's lower the bar. Let's not talk about what the Bible says. That's not us, guys, okay? Let's not talk about sin. Let's not talk about repentance. That's not what I'm saying at all, okay? Clearly, that's not what I'm saying with the content of our messages and the books that we get into. And Isaiah is clear right here. It's not about changing the standards of God. It's for the foreigner and the eunuch who gives their life to God. And in that day and age, it would be by observing the law, keeping the Sabbath, all the things that are laid out there. But by extension, those who give their lives to God today by committing their lives to Jesus, they are the ones who are included. And joining with Jesus always required commitment. It always required repentance for everybody, that they would walk according to the righteous path of God as a disciple. That hurdle in being joined to God, that's a pretty significant hurdle in its own right. The call of discipleship that Jesus puts on every single believer who would come after him. But that's God's hurdle. All right, we got to leave that alone. That's got to stand there. Everyone's got to see that for what it is. All I'm saying is, I don't think we should create an artificial obstacle course in front of the hurdle that God has given us in that call to discipleship. Right now, it feels like the amount of things a non-Christian has to overcome to find Christ in our culture, it's the equivalent of like stage 3 of American Ninja Warrior. You know, that's the obstacle course that we're putting in front of you. That's like a bad episode of Netflix's The Floor is Lava, which is literally every single episode of The Floor is Lava. But I digress. In the final judgment, when the sheep are separated from the goats and we find out who's included and who's excluded from God's kingdom, it's all going to be up to Jesus. And I personally want to believe that more are going to be gathered than are already gathered at this point. I want to see more gathered than are already gathered in my own lifetime. Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. And he's talking generally about the Gentiles. Thank the Lord, because otherwise I wouldn't be one of God's people. He says, I got other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. We serve a God who gathers. Can you not see that? They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Why would I ever trade away an opportunity in my lifetime to see more people gathered to God's kingdom? Why would I cut off lines of communication who are not gathered to God, with those who are not gathered to God? Why would I cut off those lines of communication so that I could repetitively repeat how I think the election of America should go in the year 2020? Why would I cut off possibly an opportunity to speak into the eternal fate of someone over my loudmouth and intolerant position on mask wearing, something that is absolutely temporary? Why would I trounce through culture talking about how demeaned and vile and disgusting people have become because of the nature of the world, when God himself said it's to those same people? There's the possibility. I would like them to receive a name better than sons and daughters. Or why would I in any way promote division amongst the one flock under the one shepherd that we have as the church under Jesus Christ? After all, what voice did God give us in the world? What voice did he command from us? Are we the voice in our world that goes around saying, no, not you, not you? Is our voice in culture, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're vile, you're disgusting, you're demeaned? Is that the voice God gave us? In the book of Isaiah, God gave us a voice. We're the ones that are supposed to be going around saying, don't count yourself out. You have worth that is possible for you to receive in God. There is a place for you. There's a place for you. There's a place for you. That's the voice God commanded from among his people. Again, will we gather with God or will we scatter with man in this generation of the church? Do you want to be part of a ministry and community that is actually seeing people who are far from God being joined to God's people? I want to be a part of a ministry like that. Don't you want Branches to be this place where it's a house not of pride, but of prayer for all people, for all nations? I want Branches to be that place where more will be gathered than are already gathered. I want the weird to be given the name Wonderful. I want the fringe to become family as we all commit our lives to Jesus together. That's the kingdom already inaugurated in the Christmas story. That's God's inclusive kingdom come. Will we gather with God or will we scatter with man? We've each got to ask ourselves that question. With the little time that we have on this earth, I don't care if you're 15, I don't care if you're 95. We've only got a little bit of time on this earth. We got one opportunity. We can make it about everything that's temporary, or we can make it about the eternal things. Our God is a God who gathers. Let's not scatter like man does today. Let's ask the Lord to search our own heart for how we can be a part of his mission and his movement in the world. It may be a rare movement. It was in Jesus's day. But it's the only movement I want to be joined to. So let's pray together as I invite back the band. Lord Jesus, would you search our own hearts? Are there ways in which we have been the voice of exclusion? Are there ways in which we've played up the temporary realities of this world to cut off eternal conversations? Lord Jesus, you had a call, a commitment, this call of repentance and discipleship for any that would be joined to you. But Lord, you went to people behind enemy lines. You met with them. You were friendly with them. You encouraged them. Lord, you were constantly communicating, there is a place for you. Don't say you're excluded. You were constantly proclaiming, there is worth for you to experience. You are not worthless. You can receive a name better than a son or a daughter. So, Lord Jesus, I pray our voice would conform to yours in our world as we consider that you are a God who gathers, that you looked at your people and you said, there are still more I want to bring in than those already gathered. Lord, would we feel that same way and act accordingly to ensure that everything that we do, everything we are as a Branches community, is not just a welcome mat with a slogan, all are welcome here, but that our lives are promoting that same invitation. Lord, have us repent if we've been speaking a message of exclusion. Lord, have us embrace a message of inclusion. Would we speak to and dialogue with and care about people who are very different from us? Would we care for and speak to and seek out those people who are maybe very far from you? Because, Lord, we realize we're the unrighteous reaching the unrighteous for your righteousness, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to the Branches HB podcast. For more information on Branches, you can visit our website at branchesHB.com or stay up to date with us on Instagram at branchesHB. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.